And to Jesus be the glory and the honor today and the praise. A powerful teaching today. The family of God and how to find a pastor. What does the Bible say about what a pastor should be like? It's all in there. And I'm glad to have Lucas with me. He's going to help me read the word today. Because I have a lot of scriptures I want to give you. But let's pray first. Lord, thank you for your word. Oh, we thank you for your word. And to you be all the glory. And Lord, meet your people's needs today. Answer every prayer in Jesus' name. God's people said amen. So yesterday when I was talking, I was sharing with you how when God created Adam, he gave him a family. And Adam had no say-so in who the family would be. Same in the church. When we're born again, God gives us a family. So let's begin reading Psalm 68, verse 6, because we see the importance of being a part of the body of Christ and what happens when we say no to it. Okay, Psalm 68, verse 6. Please, Lucas. Sir,
God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land.
Now, what this says is, number one, that God chooses the family. Number two, that those who come into the family come out of bondage, because it says he brings them out of being in chains, mm-hmm. went into the church. But the rebellious dwell in a dry land, meaning those that rebel and say, no, I don't want to be a part of the family, end up really in a desert. Today, you see a lot of people. Let's go to Psalm 92 also. See a lot of people today that just don't want to go to church. We walked into a store a few days ago. And usually when someone comes up, you know, Benny Hinn, I want to say hi to you. First thing I say is, what church you go to? I always, well, you've heard me say that many times. And the man says, well, why is that so important? Like, why you ask that? Well, because it's important. And he said, well, he basically doesn't go to church. He said he goes to the church of God, meaning like he's with God alone. No man is an island. If you're alone, you're in trouble. Because the Bible says in the Psalms, Psalm 92, let's look at verse 13. And that's a beautiful portion there because, and I shared that yesterday, you have to see the whole thing together from verse 10 to 15. But you look at verse 13 and read that for us.
Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God.
Yeah, now, only those who are planted will flourish. You can't flourish without being a part of them, of the body of Christ. Nor can you have fellowship with God if you reject fellowship with his people. Because fellowship with his people is what gives us fellowship with the Lord. You know, let's go to 1 John 1, verse 3. We're going to come back and read verse Psalm 92, because in Psalm 92, you see the full picture beginning from verse 10 to 15, how even the anointing is not given without fellowship with God's people. So let's read verse 3 of 1 John 1 that says,
that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us.
Ah, fellowship with us and?
And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ.
So we've told you the gospel, that you might have fellowship with us, but truly our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus. Meaning, our fellowship one with another enables us to have fellowship with the Lord.
Wow.
You cannot have fellowship with God. Look, it's all over the Word. No one can have fellowship with God if they cut the church out. He is the head. We are the body. The church is the body. And what does it say? Let's go back to Psalm 92 quickly. Let's begin with verse 10 right through 15. And notice the connection with verse 13. Let's go with verse 10, please.
But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of an unicorn.
Now, horn talks about authority, and I shall be what?
I shall be anointed with fresh oil.
Okay, but where? Let's keep reading.
Mine eye also shall see my desire on mine enemies.
Where? Keep reading.
And mine ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me.
Let's keep reading. I'm asking where for a reason. Let's keep going.
The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree.
Where? Keep going.
He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon.
Where? Keep going.
Those that be planted.
Aha! Those that be planted. So he's giving us the anointing will come. Mm-hmm. You're going to flourish. But where? Where will you see your desire on the enemies? Where will God protect you from your enemies? Where will you flourish and grow? Those. The word those connects verse 10, 11, 12 with 13.
Wow.
And then 14 and 15 together. Those. He's talking about who? Those who are, he's been talking about in verse 10, in verse 12, and verse 11 and 12. Now in verse 13, those that be
planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God.
So read the verse before that.
The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree.
Now stop. Flourish, but it says, he says, those who are planted will flourish. Mm-hmm. So okay, you're going to flourish because you're righteous, but you got to be planted in the house of the Lord to flourish. In the courts of our God, in the house of the Lord. And then it says in the next verse something wonderful.
14?
Yeah.
They shall still bring forth fruit in old age.
They will bring fruit in old age.
They shall be fat and flourishing.
And the word fat means anointed. And verse 15.
To show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock and there is no unrighteousness.
Means God will use you. That's how you can show that the Lord is upright. So it all connects with verse 13. Now, let's do something very important. I want to show you, again, 1 John. We're going to go to 1 John. And that's where I ended yesterday with verse 6 and 7. Because we just read verse 3 earlier. It says, we've declared to you what we've seen and heard, that you might have fellowship with us. But truly our fellowship is with the Lord, meaning without fellowship with each other, we cannot have fellowship with the Lord. Now it says something else in verse 6.
If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another.
Stop. Fellowship one with another, meaning those who are walking in the light have fellowship one with another. And then he says,
the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin.
Now that's awesome. It says to me here that fellowship with the Lord and each other enables me to know the power of the cleansing of the blood of Jesus.
Wow.
Well, I mean, you just think. How many people do you know that have mental trouble? If you really look at them, they have no fellowship with God. They don't even know it. Mm-hmm. You can't be in bondage where the Lord is.
Yeah.
Where he is, there is liberty.
Amen.
Today, it's a big problem today. Mental health is a big problem. You can't have any kind of bondage in your life, whatever it is, where the Spirit of the Lord is. And Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I.
Yeah.
Where two or three are gathered, there am I. Not if you're alone. Where two or three are gathered, there am I in the midst of them. The church. And Paul the Apostle understood the power of being himself a member of the church, because it was the church that rescued him from his enemies.
Mm-hmm.
It's in Acts chapter 9. In verse 18, he becomes a member of the church when he's baptized. Read just verse 18.
9:18?
Yeah, 9:18.
And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized.
Baptized, meaning he became a member of the body of Christ, a member of the church. The next thing you read in verse 26 through 30 of the same chapter.
And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken
to him. He wanted to join the church, but they were afraid because they said, this is the man who's been persecuting us.
Yeah.
But Barnabas brought him into the church by bringing him first to the apostles and said, you know what? He really is saved.
Mm-hmm.
Accept him. And the next thing you read, keep going.
And Barnabas said how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus in 28. And he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem.
That now he was accepted in the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. And
he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him.
Keep going.
Which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus.
Okay, so the church saved his life.
Yeah.
Now here is Paul the apostle who met the Lord, heard his voice, was seeking to join the church. They were afraid of him at first. They said, you know, we're not sure about this man. Barnabas helped him to say, no, it's for real. Now he's a member of the church, coming in, going out, accepted by them. And now when they came, when the Pharisees and the others, his enemies wanted to harm him, it's the church that rescued him. Yeah. So there is protection. Beautiful. To be a member of the body of Christ. And protection in the spirit. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 5. Very interesting portion here. From verse 1 to verse 5. It's about a man who was sleeping with his father's wife. Mm-hmm. And Paul said, it's not allowed. And then let's see what happens.
It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned, that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For
he that has done this deed should be taken out from among you.
Yeah.
You can't keep him a member because he's not living the life. And
for I verily, as absent in body but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present, concerning him that hath so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together, and my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh.
Now, how does that happen? When there's no fellowship.
Yeah.
Fellowship with the saints protects us. But when the saints say, no, we don't want to have fellowship with that person, he's exposed to the enemy,
wow,
and to the attacks of the enemy. That's why it's so clear in Matthew 18, verse 17, Jesus said a very powerful thing. He said, well, let's just read it. He said, if there's a person that has aught against another, go to him and fix it. If he doesn't listen, take somebody with you. Mm-hmm. If they don't take it to the church, if he won't listen to the church, treat him as an outsider. Have no fellowship with them. So no fellowship with the church is very dangerous spiritually.
Yeah.
Read, Matthew 18, 17.
And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican.
Yeah, now this is serious. So if you have a problem, so go back and read beginning at verse 15. Same chapter 18.
Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone.
Keep going.
If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother.
Right.
But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established.
But if he doesn't listen.
And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican.
If he neglects to hear what the church has to say. Now this is Bible. I'm giving you the Bible. The Bible says you can't even have peace without having fellowship with the church.
Yeah.
That's in Colossians. Mm-hmm. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. And notice what it says. Connected together. Never look when you read the Bible. Never look at the text. Look at the context. Look at what the whole thing.
Yeah.
So people always like focus on one verse. No. See why he said that. Okay, verse 15.
And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body.
Aha! One body. You can't have the peace of God if you're not one body.
Mm.
And be thankful. And then look at verse 16, which confirms what he's saying. You have to be a member of the church to have peace, because he says,
let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another.
Stop. One another means fellowship with the church.
Yeah.
He said, let the peace of God rule as you are one body. Let the peace of God rule. God's peace cannot rule if you're not a member of the body. And now, make sure that the word of Jesus dwells in you richly, teaching, admonishing one another. Fellowship with the church.
Yeah.
And he says, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, and singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Now, okay, the question comes is, how do I find my right pastor? Who is that person I can trust with my life spiritually? All right, let's go to the Psalms. We're going to look at this amazing psalm, which we all know, 23. But before we read Psalm 23, in Judges, you're in Psalm 23, I'm sure, right? Okay. In the book of Judges, chapter 2, we see that without godly leadership, people will always be taken into captivity. So we need to find godly leadership. Who are they? All right, let's begin. Psalm 23, verse 1.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters.
Let's stop. So, the Lord is my shepherd. Now, he is the shepherd, but God gives us under-shepherds. They then have to do exactly what he does as the shepherd. Number one, he makes me lie down in green pastures. Makes me means that he himself has already surveyed where they were going as sheep. He himself wanted to make sure it's good, it's healthy for the sheep. And read that again, because this is really important.
From verse 1?
Yeah, huh?
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures.
Maketh me. He makes me do it. Mm-hmm. He maketh me do it. The sheep to lie down need the shepherd to show them how to lie down. And he cannot know where the green pastures are till he's been there.
Yeah.
He has surveyed it. He knows it's healthy for the sheep. Now, let's keep reading.
He leadeth me beside the still waters.
Now, he leads me means that he himself had tasted the water. Mm. He himself knows the purity of the water. So he can't lead you to beautiful waters unless he himself has drunk from the waters. Yeah. And what I love too, it says he leads, not pushes.
Yeah.
Not pushes. So a real shepherd is one who knows the pasture. It's good, it's healthy for you. Number two, he doesn't push you, he leads you. If you ever feel pushed, that's not a real true servant of the Lord. He leads. You have to follow. Okay, read that verse again.
He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters.
Ah, restful waters. Mm. So he brings you to a place of rest.
Yeah.
Restful waters. He's been there before. Keep going.
He restoreth my soul.
Ah, he restores my soul after he himself has been restored. You can't restore a soul without yourself being restored.
Mm.
So someone who's a real pastor is someone who's been there before, who's been restored, who knows what it's like to be on the other side of the fence. He restores my soul because he himself has been restored. All right, let's keep going.
He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake.
Now, this is very important. He's guiding the sheep because he's been there already. Will you just read that again? Verse 3, please, the whole verse.
He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake.
Yeah. So someone who leads you into righteous living is a real pastor. Mm. Someone who restores your soul because he's been restored, and he's leading you to live righteously for the Lord. Because God leads you into righteousness for his name's sake. So here we have the shepherd that he himself has walked. He himself has taken note of dangerous spots. And the path of righteousness means you must be led through the valley of the shadow of death to get there. Mm. So it's one who's been through that valley.
Wow.
Keep going. Verse 4.
Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil.
So you can't find that righteousness without the valley. Mm-hmm. Read both together. Wow.
He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil.
So you must be led through the valley of death, but who leads you? The man or woman who's been in it mm-hmm. and knows how to get out of it. So he leads me to that place of righteousness, but I got to go through that valley, and I can't go through the valley without somebody taking me through it. That's why he's been there. That pastor has been restored. He knows the valley. He knows how to walk through the valley. He can lead you through it. All right, let's keep going.
For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me.
All right, the rod, by the way, speaks of the word of God, and the staff speaks of the Holy Spirit. Read that again.
For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me.
Okay, so the rod is that, it's an extension of the shepherd's arm, by the way, in the Middle East. It's a symbol of power. It's a symbol of protection from wild animals. So a shepherd uses the rod against wild animals.
Yeah.
But the staff, keep going, reread it.
For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me.
So with the rod, he fights the wild animals, mm-hmm. keeps them away from the sheep. And your staff. So the word is the rod. And those who are true pastors minister the word to drive away the enemy from the people. Because that's how you use the word of God to drive away the enemy. But your staff, the staff is what keeps the sheep together. With the rod, you fight the wild animals. With the staff, you lead the sheep, keep them together. Which speaks of the Holy Spirit. So when he touches the sheep with his staff, it's also a sign of intimacy. Mm. With the rod, you fight those wild animals. With the staff, you gently touch the sheep and keep them together. And it's a sign of, I'm here. Okay, let's keep going.
Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies.
Wow. He prepares a table. He feeds you, knowing that the enemy is watching, because those who are not accepting the food will be attacked by the enemy. Read that again.
Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of
mine. In the presence of my enemies means that a shepherd knows that if he is not feeding the sheep, and if the sheep are not receiving food, the enemy will get them. Because mm-hmm. the enemy is watching who is being fed and who is not being fed. And then he...
Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over.
Why do Eastern shepherds anoint with oil? To keep insects off the sheep. And that is what happens when you find the right shepherd, because he'll bring the anointing on your life. And now what happens is, you'll be free to sleep peacefully, because without the insects, you can't sleep. You can now sleep.
Yeah.
So he causes the sheep to dwell in that beautiful place with the Lord. Now they can sleep in peace and comfort because there's no flies and insects harassing them. Let's finish it.
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life.
Because of the shepherd. Mm-hmm. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I've just given you what to look for. If you missed it, just go back and listen to it one more time. The word of God is clear. We need shepherds. We need to understand the importance of fellowship with the saints. Let's go back to Psalm 68, verse 6 as I close.
God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land.
Yeah. So true pastoral care can never be truly effective where there's no relationship. Wow. I repeat, true pastoral care cannot be effective if people refuse fellowship. They have to accept fellowship and be committed to fellowship. So a shepherd cannot care and lead unless he knows the sheep and they know him. Wow. That's what the Bible says. Lord, I thank you for your word. Now, Lord, I pray you will lead your people. Come on, let's believe God for you. Lord, I pray you lead them to the right shepherd. And Lord, I pray you'll show them the importance and let them see it, a fellowship with the church. To you be the glory and honor, Lord, and praise. And Lord, I pray you'll bless that pastor that's listening, that as he ministers to his people, Lord, that he'll do exactly what you want him to do in being a blessing to them. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You know, if there's a pastor listening to me, I want you to share what I shared today. Give them the scriptures I gave you. I would be so happy if you would repeat my message to people that you are your pastor of, that they are your people. Let them know the importance of fellowship. You know, and I only gave you a part of the teaching today. There's so much more in the Bible. But I think I gave you enough. But maybe someday I'll give you a little extra. But right now I think it's important because I'm seeing so many people today that just don't want the fellowship of the saints. You think, no, they just need to know what the Bible says about it. And then I think they'll wake up and go back to church.
Yeah.
All right, it's time to give. It's time to give to the Lord's work and thank him for all he's done and continues to do in our life. I'm on my way to Africa again. We were in Africa in January. I was in Ghana. And then I just came back from Kenya a few days ago. My body finally is recovering. And now next week, the end actually of this week, next week I'll be in Africa again. And the reason I'm doing it is because God has opened some mighty doors. And we just had a nation-changing crusade, literally. The president was there, his wife, First Lady of Kenya was there, members of government, 20,000 pastors, thousands of people that came, thousands of people. They told me 500,000 a night because they had to have it in a stadium for security for the president and his officials, his government people. But then there were people outside the stadium that nobody saw. But they were in fields, sitting, watching on screens. So it was an amazing time in Kenya, Nairobi, Kenya. And now I'm going back to Africa, to a different country, of course. But it's been amazing. And now we're, by the way, translating my dailies into different languages through the new technology with AI. It's not perfect yet, but it's close to it, you know. So when you give now, you're going to help me translate everything into over 30 languages. We already are working on 12 languages. In fact, you know what? Let's just quickly show you that. And as we close, you can just look and see what they're doing. It's really amazing. And because it's my voice. It's my voice. And my lips are moving with that language, like Russian and Arabic and Swedish and German and Spanish and French and it's really quite remarkable. So your gift will help me get these dailies into all these languages that soon we're going to end up. I think the limit is 30 or 30, 33 languages they can do now. But I think they can do more later. But think about 12 languages already. We're actually working on it now. We launch May 1. May 1, it goes throughout the world. So we're working on it. And of course, it costs money. But let's do it for the Lord. You can give right now on the platform you're watching me on. You can go to our website, BennyHinn.org, which is the simplest way to give. Or you can text BHM45777. Much love and pray for me as I go to Africa on the weekend. I'll see you again tomorrow. Bye-bye. I'm teaching today on the blood of God. One of the most important teachings any one of us can bring to you.
Una vez que comprendamos la sangre derramada de Jesús en la cruz, es importante recordar que Dios Todopoderoso a été crucifié en la personne de Jésus-Christ et a versé son sang sur la croix du calvaire. वह भगवान जिसने अब्राहम को चुना और अब्राहम को बुलाया जो इसराइल को मिस्र também derramou seu sangue por nós. Essa verdade tem significado profundo e deve ser sempre lembrada. إله المجد والخلق أصبح إنسانا اسمه يسوع وصلب
αυτούς. Για ευημερία εφαρμόστε τους νόμους του Θεού. Η πληθώρα δεν είναι τύχη, αλλά αποτέλεσμα υπακοής.
Не забывать об этом важном учении и его значении. Бог создал Авраам Риф. Gott führte Israel aus Ägypten.